You're going for the Panthers, aren't you?
Of course. Of course I am.
Any doubt in your mind as a North Carolinian that they're going to win?
I've got no doubt in my mind. I think, you know, I lived in Denver for a little bit, but I've been a season ticket holder with the Panthers ever since the start. So I'm going Panthers 30-21.
There you go. I like that. And the man's willing to give the score. That's outstanding. Thanks so much for doing this, by the way. I know it's a hectic time for you guys. I just wanted to get your sense on, you know, you've been with the team for a while now. You guys are going through your preparations for the season. What's it been like so far? Because, you know, Quint, those of us who've watched this team, we've always talked about the defensive issues with this team. You know, you're coming in a lot of people's mind. You're going to be a large part of the answer for this. How have things gone so far? And you know, where do you think the team is right now in terms of its preparation?
Well, I think we're about halfway through preseason at this point, and you know, we've really been focusing on those defensive improvements, like you said. I think it's been a main focus of preseason. We've played a few games here and there now, and the fitness is starting to come, and the cohesion is as well. As you know, we've got a few new faces on the back line, and just trying to get that development and learn each other's tendencies in this preseason. And so far, I think it's been going pretty well.
Hey Clint, when you're doing that, when you've got a new back line, when you've got a lot of new players, obviously communication is going to be important. The goalkeeper, I would think it starts with the goalkeeper. How do you go about developing that, you know, sort of that second sense or fifth sense or whatever the hell it is? I forget how many senses we have. But the guys need to be successful. Does that come during the games? Can you do it during practice? Or, you know, do you have to wait until the season actually starts and the pressure's really intense?
I think it's all of the above. You know, you're trying to get as many repetitions in preseason as possible on the field in practice. And then, like you said, once the bullets start flying kind of in the season when the games are tense and tight, that's when you're really going to figure out what guys' tendencies are and where they stand. And I think also off the field, just trying to get to know people, you know, their family situation, where they're from, how they grew up. I think that's all important too, and just trying to find that chemistry.
What did you think, or what did you see of Toronto FC as an opponent? What went through your mind when you were playing for Colorado, and you knew you were coming up, you were facing Toronto FC? What was your view of the team from the opposing keeper's position?
Well, we knew, you know, they had some very good attacking players. Obviously, Seba, Giovinco, Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore, and those are big names in the league, and we knew they were definitely capable of scoring goals. And at the time last year, we also knew that, you know, they're going to score some goals, but they might give us a few on the other side, and we knew that we'd kind of be in the game. But definitely a very dangerous attacking team. And then, you know, I think everyone has said, and it's been well documented on the defensive side of things, that they maybe weren't as strong last year.
In conversation with Clint Irwin of Toronto FC. Your story is intriguing. You were at Elon University. You weren't drafted. You knocked around, tried out for New England and several other teams. You actually, I guess it was Capital City FC Ottawa in the CSL in 2011 that kind of gave you your break, if you want to call it that, didn't they?
Yeah, it was really my first opportunity to play out post-college, you know, professional, semi-professional, whatever you want to call it. It was really important just to get games and get that experience that everyone who kind of turned me down or passed me over said that I needed. So I was thankful for that opportunity. I played in probably 32 games up there. And ultimately from there, you know, went on some other trials with other teams and kind of went through the same cycle and ended up in Charlotte and then in Colorado. So it was definitely a great bridge for my career. I think without them, I wouldn't have had anywhere to play, and I would be working at a desk job somewhere.
Are you still writing?
I do occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know. You'd written, I believe, for the Daily Telegraph, Sports Illustrated. I think you wrote for Sports Illustrated as well. How games should be refereed.
Yeah, that was Sports Illustrated, a couple for Daily Telegraph, and then just kind of here and there when I'm feeling the inspiration or I have something to say. It's not I don't know if it's a regular thing yet, but it's definitely a good outlet for me.
You know, it's funny, when I was covering the Olympics in Beijing, and I covered the gold medal soccer game, and Argentina beat Nigeria. Long story, but you'll see where I'm going with it. Argentina beat Nigeria, and after the game, I was down in the mix zone, and the Nigerian team came out, and there were players Victor Anichebe and guys like this, and in one case, I cannot remember the name of the player, but the player was interviewed. He answered questions in English. He answered questions in whatever the dialect was in Nigerian. And then he played in Israel, and he answered a couple of questions in Hebrew. And I remember looking at this, and I'm thinking, I mean, this is truly an international sport. And, you know, that's no surprise. It is. It's a big international sport. But I started thinking that you have to – if you're not a star, you've got to have a certain type of personality to hang in there, to get your break in soccer, don't you? You've almost got to have an adventurous spirit, or at least you've got to have a certain type of sensibility and sensitivity to other people and embrace differences in order to be successful, don't you?
Definitely do. Especially in the locker room. I remember growing up in North Carolina, you're playing with, predominantly Hispanic players were kind of the next, besides American, it was mostly Hispanic players. And so at a young age, you get that introduction to new cultures. And then as you get older, I remember playing in Ottawa, and we had a lot of French speakers, but also a lot of, I guess we would call it second generation immigrants from Canada. You know, we had a Bosnian player, guys from Guinea, and African nations, and it was just a real melting pot. And that's pretty much wherever you go in soccer, that's going to be the case. Here in Toronto, we've got French, Spanish, English all being spoken in the locker room, Italian, and you just really have to be open to those cultures. And it's actually one of the things that I really enjoyed about the sport.
Okay, I got to ask you about Steph Curry. tell me first of all, how often did you see the ball?
Oh, I was a designated screener and defensive player, so I didn't get many touches.
What's it like being in a court with a guy like that? I mean, we're talking a transcendent player, right?
For sure. At this point, in high school, I didn't know if he was going to be a transcendent player. I just knew that he was really, really good, and he's basically doing the same stuff in the NBA that he was doing in high school, which is crazy to think about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just been amazing to see. You know, I've had a feeling he could be in the NBA, but to be NBA MVP is just totally beyond my expectations.
What was he like as a kid?
He's the same as he is now. I think that's the biggest compliment that I can give him, is he hasn't changed a bit. He's supremely confident in his abilities, but he's still humble and treats everyone the right way, and I think he's a great model for any athlete or young kid growing up.
How was your basketball career? Was soccer always going to be the sport of choice for you, or was basketball an option at one point?
Yeah, I think in like junior high, I was kind of good at both, and there wasn't like a clear path. But once I got to high school, I didn't grow as much as I would need to be a good basketball player. But soccer kind of took over, and I kind of found my passion there. And I realized that that's the path that I wanted to take, and, playing college and whatnot. So that's what I did in high school.